Moving down here. So, nice and close to you. All right. Oh, I got to move this way. I can't be that close to Dan. All right. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. Is that working, David? All right. They put special lights up there, so I'm well lit. And then what do? I move away from the lights. So. Okay, guidance from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. We actually touched on this verse as part of last week's lesson, but we're going to focus in on one particular part of it this evening. So, thanks, Dan. So, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. So, Proverbs 3:34. Surely, he that being God, surely God scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. So we're going to look in mainly Proverbs, with maybe a couple other passages thrown in this evening, about the scorner. God actually has quite a bit to say about the scorner throughout the book of Proverbs. He keeps popping up, okay? And so we're going to look at some of those verses and made a bit of an outline to help us organize them. We start with this evening, who is a scorner? Okay? Who is a scorner? Just in general, a scorner is one who scoffs, mocks at, makes fun of things that are serious. He often derides and makes fun of authorities. He scoffs at sound wisdom. Scorner is not particularly teachable. You speak, they don't listen, okay? They, instead of listening and considering, instead they deride and treat scornfully that which you are trying to give them. Particularly in Proverbs, the scorner scoffs at who? God. The scorner scoffs at God, and he derides and makes fun of the wisdom of God and his word. The scorner is not silent. Now, a fool can be silent, but the scorner just cannot hold his tongue. He has to speak up, and he speaks up in derision. Proverbs 1:22. Now I have all these up on the screen if you want to look over that way. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock. They make fun of, they don't treat seriously what? Sin. But among the righteous there is favor. So that tells us a little bit here, first of all, about the scorner. The scorner delights in their scorning. They think it's really cool to scorn and to mock authorities and to laugh at and make fun of serious things and the wisdom of God. And there's no lack for loudmouth scoffers in our world today who make fun of God and biblical morality and wisdom. They call evil good and good evil. They are definitely part of the conversation of Romans 1, where Paul is talking, you see the spiral downward from those who honored and worshiped God, to those who forgot God, to those who made gods of the earth and idols and beasts, and eventually they became scoffers or scorners, calling evil good and good evil. Thinking themselves to be wise, Paul says they became what? fools. They deride those who refuse to play their games as simpletons. They inhabit many places, from academic halls to the halls of Congress to the gutter to the entertainment and sports world, and they are unashamed to open their mouth and scoff at God or his children. Jesus warned believers they would face scoffers. Did they scoff at Christ? Did they? Yes, they did. They mocked him. And Jesus said, if they mock me and if they hate me, they may do the same with you. And so scorners exist, scorners of many things, but particularly here we're talking about those who scorn or mock or make fun of the things of the Lord. A scorner doesn't just do it, the scorner delights in doing it. It's fun. It's fun. It is satisfying to the scorner to open up their mouth and cast aspersions upon those, particularly upon God and his word. We must be careful to point out the truth, but in love, and not as a what? And not as a scoffer or a scorner, okay? Because we don't want to join them. We don't want to appear to be like them. We don't want to fight this fire with fire. We want to fight this fire with water, the water of the truth of the word of what? Of the word of God. A scorner does not take advice well, but mocks and may even attack those who try to correct or help them. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8, it says, he that reproveth, rebuketh, correcteth, a scorner getteth himself what? Shame. Okay, so try to rebuke a scorner, one who is dead set, who is mocking God, who and it's not going to end particularly well, okay? You're not going to seemingly get anywhere, and you may feel embarrassed or even shamed by the fact that of how it all turns out. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will what? Love thee. Okay? So the scorner does not take well to advice. The scorner is not going to appreciate the fact that you are trying to help them. Now, that is somewhat human nature. We tend to recoil when somebody tries to correct us, but the scorner, he is the professional at this. The scorner doesn't just stand there and take it. The scorner does what? The scorner talks back, okay? And sometimes they are quite eloquent in a way, and they are certainly very confident in their mockery. And so they don't tend to take rebuke well. See 13:1 and 15:12 of Proverbs. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So the scorner isn't what? The scorner's not listening. The scorner's not teachable, okay? There are a lot of people that are simple and ignorant, particularly when it comes to the Word of God and to the way that is right. They are easing pickings for Satan, but they are not all scorners, okay? They can be, a lot of them can be taught, okay? And we should go into it assuming, when we go to speak to somebody about the Lord and what is right, that they are teachable. But sometimes we find out that they are a scorner, okay? And that they do not hear what we have to say. Proverbs 15:12, a scorner loveth not the one that reproveth him. Neither he will he go unto the wise. So the scorner doesn't appreciate those that try to help him, and he won't go to find help because he doesn't think he what? needs help, okay? Many in the of the religious leaders in Jesus' day, many of them, not all of them, but many of them were scorners when it came to Christ and his message. They did not listen, they did not hear, and they weren't about to go to Christ to get help. There was one. Who was that? Who went to Christ? Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He went to Christ seeking help. He was not a what? He was not a scorner. He was open. He was not scornful of the truth or closed to the teaching and instruction of the Lord. You don't want to be the one to try to correct the scorner. He does not take well to it. He often will speak over you and clearly not be listening to you. A lot of times you'll see people debating, and sometimes they're both talking over each other, so they can't possibly hear what the other one's saying. But sometimes one person is in earnest trying to give an explanation, and the other person is just talking over them. And if you watch any news program for very long, this is what you're going to see. And often the one that's talking over the other person is a scorner, and they're not listening, and they're not teachable. And rather than debating on equal footing, they have to speak over you. That is, by definition, a scorner. A scorner is proud and arrogant, condescending, and sometimes outright angry. Proverbs 21:24 says, "A proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." The scorner is often quite arrogant, proud. They speak down to you, and often they're angry. And again, we see you've met that person, people like that, and we see them on TV all the time. Somebody tries to come up and start a conversation, and there is no having a conversation because all they want to do is shout their whatever their prepared mantra is, and they're not listening. The scorner lashes out at others with condescending and arrogant rants tinged with anger, meant to often manipulate others to violence or aggression, or keep the righteous, or make the righteous to cower in fear. So they stir up the others, particularly emotionally. They try to get other people to laugh at that which is serious and that which is wrong, or to take up arms against others. Or sometimes their intent is to make those who are right to cower in fear. So they mock. And they deride, and they call people names in these type of things to try to get you to shut your mouth. And sometimes shutting your mouth is, in the end, the right thing to do because it becomes evident that you can't get anywhere, especially at that moment in time. You know, there are sometimes we might speak to someone, and they're in a state of mind where they're not going to listen. Maybe they even act a bit like a scorner, but there may be another time when, you know, when we could speak with them. And so sometimes you got to pick your battles. A scorner seeks only his own wisdom and therefore doesn't find true wisdom. Proverbs 14:6, a scorner seeketh wisdom, and what? And findeth it not. Well, why is it that a scorner seeks wisdom and doesn't find it? Well, probably because he's looking in the wrong place, okay? I wrote later verse in the same chapter, verse 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So if you're looking inward for all the wisdom, and you're not looking to God and looking outward to others who have that wisdom, then you're probably not going to what? you're probably not going to find it. And so often they do not find it because they're not looking in the right place. What does the scripture say? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So when we seek wisdom from God, when we're willing to consider the Lord and his word and the wisdom of others, then we find wisdom. If we shut ourselves off from all of that, and in pride and arrogance, we think that we know better than everybody else, then we're not going to find what? We're not going to find wisdom. Just some descriptions from Proverbs about the scorner. And now, next, what is the end of the scorner? Okay, what is the end of the scorner? Well, we already looked at Proverbs 3:34 to start with. May still be there. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. Now, last week, we kind of focused in on he giveth grace to the what? To the lowly. He lifts up those who are humble themselves before him. God does. But here, we're going to focus on the first one. But God scorneth, he derides those who scorn him and truth and wisdom and authority. Surely the Lord scorneth the scorners. So first of all, what will be the end of the scorner? Well, if he continues with his scorning and doesn't stop and listen to God, he is going to earn God's derision and God's scorning and condemnation. I reminded me of Psalm, I think I have it marked here, maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Psalm 2, reminded me of Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, David writes, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us." So the heathen, they rage, they are wrathful, they are angry, they are violent. Why do they imagine a vain thing? They imagine that they can oppose who? Oppose God. Oppose the Lord and his anointed, which would be Christ. They say, let us break their bands asunder. They say, let us throw off the constraints that God has placed upon us and cast away their cords from us. What is God's reaction to that? Does God cower in fear? Does God compromise and say, okay, yeah, we'll come to a compromise? No, no. The Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. What does that mean? Well, that means this right here. Surely God scorneth the what? The scorners. He will laugh at them who laugh at him. And who's going to have the last laugh? God is. God's going to have the last laugh. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The scorners can scorn. Eventually, they are going to regret it because God will have the last laugh. And while we may chuckle and say, yep, they're going to get what's coming to them, at the same time, this is sad because this doesn't have to what? This doesn't have to be. This doesn't have to happen. If they will just surrender and bow before the God of heaven. The scorner will earn the scorn of God. The scorner will suffer alone the fruit of his ways. Proverbs 9:12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Basically, if you're wise, who's going to benefit from your wisdom? You are. You're going to benefit from wisdom. You're going to benefit from opening yourself up to the Lord and to His Word. You're going to benefit from listening to others that are wise and not being a scorner. But the one who scornest, the one who thinks they know everything, the one who is proud and arrogant and pushes back and makes a mock at God and His authority, they're not going to benefit. They're going to bear it. What are they going to bear? Well, they're going to bear the consequences that come with mocking God, as we read about in Psalm 2. Sometimes the scorners seem to be the ones that are kind of in control. Sometimes it seems that some of the scorners are the ones that are making all the money and they're having their way, and they're the politicians and they're the people making millions in entertainment, and they say foolish things and they mock it, and they do it all the time. And it's cool and it's funny. A lot of more and more comedy is people scorning and making fun of who? Making fun of God and making fun of godly morality. That's funny. Say a bunch of vulgarities and everybody what? And everybody laughs. It's funny. It's contrary to proper behavior, and that's what often passes today as comedy. But again, they may appear to be profiting today, but later on they will bear the what? They will bear the consequences. Yeah. Number three, the scorner will be punished and judged. Okay. Judgments, Proverbs 29:19-20, judgments are prepared for the scorners and stripes for the back of fools. What that does tell us is not only the scorners who scorn the authority, who reject the authority of God and the wisdom of God will be judged. It also tells us that judgment is not prepared for us who by God's grace are doing our best to listen to the Lord and honor the Lord and respect the Lord. No, God's judgment is for the scorner. God's blessing is upon the what? It's upon the righteous. Proverbs 21:11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So let's take the second phrase first. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth what? He receiveth knowledge. He considers it, he takes it in, and he learns from it. But the scorner, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the scorner, the one who speaks up and actively laughs and mocks at things that are good and right and just and holy, is punished, then the simple go, oh, maybe I shouldn't follow the what? Shouldn't follow the scorner, okay? Sadly, it's hard to teach a scorner until they stop scorning and actually start what? Listening, yeah. And so sometimes the way to help others, particularly those around the scorner, is for them to face punishment for what they've done. Why do we have a justice system in our country where we send people to jail and on occasion send them to the electric chair? Why do we do that? Well, it's a deterrent. Because if you know that your freedom is going to be taken away from you, if you know that your money is going to be taken away from you, if you know that possibly even your life is going to be taken from you, it becomes a deterrent to the simple, that they not follow in the path of the what? In the scorner. And the jails, of course, are full of people who are scorners. And sadly, there's still scorners in jail. You would think that they would learn, but oftentimes they don't. Some do. Praise the Lord, there are jail ministries and there are people that are saved in jail. Praise the Lord for that. But often the scorner doesn't even at that point stop his scorning. There are most definitely going to be scorners in hell. that are still scorning, still scoffing, still rebelling at God, even after their judgment has been executed. So how do you how do you benefit the wise? Well, you teach them, instruct them. But the simple is often made wise by punishing the scorner, by deterrent. And we live in a world where a lot of times consequences for sin or particular criminal penalties is all focused on rehabilitation. There are some you can rehabilitate, and there are some that you can't. Mm-hmm. And then also the scorner, he will remain ignorant. And we already looked at that. He will not find wisdom, oftentimes because he is not looking in the right places and because he's just not really truly open to it. So that is the end of the scorner, should he not see the error his way and turn to the Lord and humble himself. So we looked at who is a scorner, the end of the scorner, and finally, from Proverbs, how are we to deal with the scorner? How are we to deal with the scorner? Well, number one, don't join them. Don't join them in their scorning. The world needs to hear this, okay? Oftentimes, a lot of the popular cool people they're scorners, they're scoffers, they, in arrogance, they confidently oppose the things of the Lord and the things that are right. And others think, okay, well, they're cool, I'll join them. Don't join them. how does God describe the blessed man? The blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't do what? He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't join them. And sometimes, particularly when you're young, it's easy to kind of get pushed into that kind of stuff. I remember, my mom doesn't remember, we talked about it the other day. We were talking about my friends when I was a kid. I had a friend that lived up on the hill. I think I mentioned him a little while ago because he always cheated. But he was the only person I had to do anything with. But Mom didn't remember this one incident. We were on the front porch at my house, and my friend, I would, in some ways, would describe as a scornful person. And he was talking trash and bad about his parents. And I should have disagreed with him, but in the pressure of the moment, I agreed with him, and my mom heard me. She was in the kitchen with the window open, and I caught it, and I didn't get to do anything with Sean for a month or two because I didn't stand up for what I didn't stand up for my parents. I went, yeah, my parents are like that too. Ugh, I knew I shouldn't have done that, but don't join them. Don't be the scorner. There's some bad things here we looked at coming for the scorner. Number two, don't spend too much time and energy trying to instruct and correct the scorner. Again, you should go into opportunities that God gives you to speak and tell others the truth, to correct them lovingly, to try to help them. But there comes a point at which sometime you realize, oh, they're not listening. They're more feeding off of this and making a mockery of it. And so back to 9, 7, and 8, it says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself what? Shame. Okay. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Particularly first phrase, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. What did Jesus have to say in Matthew 7:6? He put it this way, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. That's a hard verse. It comes in the passage in Matthew 7 where it says, judge not that you be not judged. And then he goes on to explain, if you have a beam in your eye, don't try to get the speck out of the other. First get the beam out of your eye, then you can see clearly to get the speck out of others' eye. Don't judge others in a way that you're not willing to judge who? Yourself. You are a hypocrite if you do so. And then the next verse he says this, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. And it would seem that Jesus is saying here, you know, he's using the metaphor, you don't give something precious, okay, something valuable to a dog. Because what's the dog going to do with it? I mean, they'll tear it apart. They're going to get it in their mouth, and they're going to sling it around, and they're going to get their foot on, they're going to pull on it, and pretty soon your beautiful sweater that you have is now strewn all over the place, and it's just a what? It's just a rag. Or that precious vase you have is now broken, or that thing has teeth marks all in it. Because if it's valuable, you don't give it to the dog. Okay? Don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay? Pearls are beautiful. Pearls are valuable. Does a swine, a pig, care anything about that? What's the pig going to do with it? He's going to trample it down in the mud, and it's going to disappear, and is he going to care? The answer is no. So don't give what which is holy in a dog. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Because not only is it of no value to them and they're going to treat it as trash, but also it is going to end up hurting who? Hurting you. End up hurting you. And so who is Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about somebody that you might call a scorner. Okay? They're too smart to listen. They know everything. They don't value things that are holy and righteous and good. They laugh at it. They mock at it. They close their ears because they don't want to hear it. So don't spend all of your time trying to convert scorners. Okay? Give God some time. Maybe God will get a hold of them and open their heart and you'll have more opportunity. But if you notice, Jesus, during his ministry, he didn't spend most of his time with the Pharisees and the leaders. He spent most of his time with the poor and impoverished, those who were clearly sinners and knew it, because they valued what he had to say. They recognized that it was of value, and many of them were converted, while few of the scorners were. And so he spent most of his time talking to those who would listen. In Proverbs 19:29 and 21:11, we're reminded. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scorners, as stripes for the back of fools. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. So sometimes, what do you have to do with the scorner? Let's say you're a teacher in a class, and you have 20 people in the class, and let's say 10 of them are, you know, they're good students. They listen, they learn, they do their best. Let's say 5 others in the class, you know, they're mediocre students. They cut up sometimes a little bit, and they just aren't really into learning all that much. They're just kind of there because, well, they got to be there. And then you got a couple of others. They're all into something else, and their attention is just gone. So they're daydreamers. So you look at them, and they're like, you know, it's like, okay, they're not getting it. But then you got a couple in the class that they're what? They're scorners. They mock. They make fun. They talk behind the teeth. They purposefully are trying to stir up trouble. They are not just uninterested, but they are troublemakers. and you try to talk to them, and you try to explain to them, but the minute you turn their back, what are they up to? Okay, what's the solution? Okay, they have to be punished. That's really sometimes the only option that they leave, and not only for their sake, but also for the sake of the class, they need to be punished. And that's hard. That's hard sometimes as a teacher. That's hard sometimes, particularly as a parent. That's hard sometimes if you're a person in authority, because you want people to listen and learn. You don't want to have to do what? You don't want to have to punish them. But sometimes you just have to do it, because it's the only way they're going to learn. And you might have to do it over and over and over again. And with prayer, particularly if it's your child, hopefully they will grow and mature and listen. But sometimes that is the only option you have, and it's because the scorner puts you in that position. And often they do that. And punishment will indeed come. It's better to come, particularly when they're young, from a parent or a teacher, than it is when they're older, to come directly from God. And then Proverbs 22:10 says, and this kind of goes along with don't join them, but it takes it a step further. Proverbs 22, cast out the what? Scorner, and contention shall what? Go out with them. Strife and reproach shall cease. Again, sometimes, if it's bad enough, you might have to suspend or expel the student who is a what? Who's a scorner. Okay. Because as long as they're there, they're going to be stirring up trouble. Okay. Now, you can't cast out your own kid, so you're going to have to find a different way to deal with your child. Okay. If they're scornful. If you're in a group of friends or in a church and there's a scorner, eventually it may be necessary to cast out the what? The scorner, if you want to have peace and if you want to prosper as a group, because the scorner brings down the whole what? Brings down the whole group. So sometimes the scorner has to be cast out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about the church in Corinth, and they have somebody in their midst, a man that is living with, sleeping with, acting immorally with his stepmother. Okay? So this is not his mother, but it's the woman that his father married, and he is carrying on an adulterous, promiscuous relationship with his stepmother. And Paul says to the church, why haven't you done anything about it? It would seem that this person isn't doing this under the radar. In other words, they are flaunting it. They are what you might call a scorner. They're making fun. They're not taking seriously something that is serious. And Paul said, why haven't you cast this person out? A little leaven leaveneth the what? The whole lump. So the leaven is going to spread. If you don't cast out the leaven, it's his attitude is going to what? Spread. And it's going to catch on to other people. And they're going to start not taking God and the morality of the Lord seriously, so you may have to cast them out. And sometimes that's what has to be done. Certainly others had already talked to this man about what he was doing, but he just had no intention on repenting and changing. So Paul said, you need to cast him out. Maybe if you cast him out, he will see how serious this is, and he will reconsider and repent. So in conclusion, don't scorn. Don't be a scorner. Be a listener. Seek wisdom. Consider that we all have something still to learn, but certainly do not scoff at the things of God. There are consequences for that. Number two, don't be a critic. Don't be a critic of everything. Sometimes this may not quite fall under the category of scorner, but sometimes people are just critics of everything. Don't be a critic. You know, really listen to what other people, you know, and learn. Sometimes somebody else may have a better idea than I do. Next, as we told, don't join in with the scorners. It will not end well for you. It may seem to be going well for them, but you join in, it's not going to end well for you. And in the way, it won't end well for them either. But be careful how you deal with scorners. You will end up getting hurt or being the one with egg on your face. So don't get in too deep with the scorners. Sometimes you just have to what? It's okay to step back, not to cower in fear, but to step back and say, okay, this isn't working. Let's try a different strategy here. Scorners may not be wise, but they are often smart and crafty, and they're very often very confident. Don't argue long with them. You may be wasting your breath. It may be that our time would be better spent talking to someone who might be listening other than trying to go back and forth with somebody who is making a mockery of what we're trying to teach them. Don't continue to appease a scorner. They will never be what? Satisfied. So we see this. I really get frustrated with politicians a lot because it just seems like they compromise, and they think that if they give this person enough of what they want, they're going to change their stripes. But does that ever? No, it doesn't happen. They still continue to be the same person. Cast out the scorner from among your ranks, and everyone will be better off. That indeed is the wisdom of the Lord from the book of Proverbs. First of all, don't be a scorner. Second of all, don't put up with the scorner if you don't have to. Just do what's right. And pray the Lord will get a hold of them, because it is going to take the Lord to do so. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Reminder, Lord, we should love and try to reach the world for Jesus, to be kind, to be compassionate, but Lord, also to be wise, to be as smart as a serpent and wise and gentle as a dove. Lord, help us in all things to be humble and willing to be taught, and of a compassionate heart. But Lord, help us also to be wise and understand that there are times when we have to step back and let you do what you need to do in the lives of others, what our words cannot accomplish alone. Lord, to pray for them, and to be a good example before them. Sometimes to separate from them. To show them that our allegiance is first and always to the Lord who gave his life for us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.